Why can't we clap at the same time? Hi, everybody.
Hello, and welcome to
It's not that hard.
Women.
We're looking right at each other, and we still can't clap at the same time.
I thought that we were pretty in sync, but
I don't know. Maybe
Lila's walking away. She's like, I'm over you guys.
Yeah, she's like, you guys really need to get your shit together. Okay.
She's probably going to ring the doorbell to go pee. Dang it.
Can she do that?
Yeah, she has a doggy doorbell.
Amazing. That's genius.
Anyways.
Maybe she can teach my kid to do that. Okay.
Before we start the episode, we said that we were going to talk about something, and I, like a minute ago, and I completely forgot what it was.
Our favorite coffee, Purity Coffee.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. I'm almost out, actually. And it's crazy because this is the first time in a really long time that I have been making my own coffee at home consistently for months. Like, I think I've told you, normally I buy, like, I literally buy pre-made iced coffee because I only drink coffee cold, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like more effort for me to like make a coffee. We have a grinder and then like the AeroPress. And so it's, I have to like be on the ball and make it the night before and all this stuff. But this coffee is so good and we have a lot of it. And I was like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm going to commit to buying less coffee out of the house. It's so overpriced, ridiculous. And I'm just going to make it at home. And I've been making my coffee the night before and putting it in the fridge. And I've actually, one thing that I want to report is that I have not done a coffee detox in, because you talked about yours pretty recently. I have not done like a proper coffee detox in, I want to say years. Like, it actually freaks me out to think about it because I really don't like being so dependent on anything. And I can kid myself that like, oh, I don't need my coffee. Like, it takes, you know, I wait like 2 hours before I have my first cup in the morning, whatever. But like, I know for a fact, if I went cold turkey, I would have headaches like wild. It would be miserable, right? So I'm still not in a place where I'm ready to do a detox yet because I just don't want to, frankly. But yeah. I have switched to Purity Coffee's 1/3 caffeinated, which I love because I didn't even get into coffee drinking in the first place because I needed caffeine. Like, I am a high energy person anyway. I got into it because I liked the flavor and because everybody else was drinking it. And I was just like, oh, I guess I'll get into coffee. And, you know, 10 years later, here I am. So I've just literally switched to 1/3. I didn't do anything else. I just switched to lower caffeine and I haven't noticed any difference. I don't notice less energy. I haven't had headaches, anything. So I feel like if I do this for a while and then maybe I switch to like every other day I'm using the decaf because they've got a good decaf version too. Like, I can just kind of like titrate instead of cold turkey because I just don't see what the point of that is. Like, it's just like, why put myself in misery for a couple of days for no reason? I might as well just do it this way. It's like a smarter option, I think.
Yeah.
And it still tastes good. It's like, what's, you know, so anyway, so that's what I'm doing.
And I do that. I do a variation of that. I do like half of the 1/3. I think I talked about this last time, and then half of the light roast. And that's mostly because I just really like the flavor of the light roast.
Okay.
But so I literally have like a coffee canister and I take both bags and I pour them in evenly and then I just shake it up. So yeah. I combine it. So it's 50% each of the, I don't even remember the names. It's the brown bag, which is the light roast, and then the yellow orange bag, which is the 1/3 roast.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll do half with the decaf, which is a blue bag.
Yep.
Instead. So anyways, lots of things to do. And especially if you're trying to get, lower your caffeine intake, definitely a smart way to do it. Don't, you know, going cold turkey you can do if you want, but like, why? That sucks.
Yeah.
Just bring the caffeine down 1/3 decaf and you're good to go. One thing I want to say also is my friend, my best friend from college, reached out to me last week and she said that her, husband has been using Purity for a while. And it's like the only coffee that has helped him to not have reflux, like acid reflux from it. And so she just mentioned that last week and I was like, oh, wow. Like I didn't even think about that, you know, as one of the, if you're drinking shitty coffee, absolutely that can happen.
Yeah.
I've been drinking Purity for probably 5 years now. So, you know, I haven't noticed that. When I have like a Starbucks every once in a while, I'm literally like on another planet, like cracked out, probably having tons of different reflux. Who knows what's happening? I'm on another planet there. Yeah. So that happens very rarely. But yeah, just something to note if you deal with that.
And you were saying in your newsletter the other day, too, that coffee is one of the most like chemically treated products that we are all, most of us, let's be real, are consuming every single day. So a really good way to lower your like toxic load would be to get some good quality coffee, and even organic, like even a lot of organic coffees, it's still not as clean as much as that word kind of sucks sometimes. But like, honestly, purity coffee really is, they're like third party tested to make sure that they have their brewing process. They keep more antioxidants than other organic coffees. Like everything that good quality organic coffee does, they like take it to the next level. So if you are one of those people who's like really sensitive to stuff like that, and you want to make sure that there's no molds and none of that stuff,
mold's a really big thing too.
Mm-hmm. With coffee, for sure. Because when you think about when it's getting harvested and roasted and sent to you, and by the time it gets to you and all this stuff, like you need to have the highest quality, like best practice kind of product possible, especially because again, this isn't something that you're having every once in a while. Most of us, like most of us are having quite a bit of it every day of our lives forever. Yeah. So anyway, thanks Purity Coffee. You guys rule. And the other great thing about them is they gave us a really good discount, because sometimes, honestly, people don't always give the best discounts, but theirs is 25% off, which is pretty significant. Yeah. So
you're,
if you want to go,
you're not going to see 25% off anywhere else.
No, I mean, that's a very high discount. So if you want to go and just like actually stock up, you will save a significant amount of money. Like get yourself a decaf, get yourself a 1/3, and then get yourself a regular, and you get 25% off your whole order. So MSW25, we also have like a direct link to it in the show notes. Purity Coffee, good stuff.
Try it out, and then you can go on subscription after you try it. It gets delivered, you know, as often as you want. Like I get it every month, and it's like so easy because you don't have to think about it. It's just another thing that just pops up at your door.
Okay. Anyways, let's go into some questions. First question. This is from Celeste. Her question is about BCAAs, and this is kind of an interestingly timed question, which I will explain later. But she's saying she's a 23-year-old college student, love the young people again. We just put out another podcast with a high school student asking us questions. I love that. Love it. I'm glad that you're here. She tells us her like weight and body fat, which frankly doesn't matter, so we're just going to skip that. She's saying, I only have a couple hours a day to work out. Imagine having a couple hours a day to work out. Good Lord. I have like 3 minutes a day to stare at the ceiling. Anyway, she's got time, doesn't have a gym membership, invested in a couple of free weights, works out in her apartment, 5 days of full body strength training, 1 hour each. Okay, 45-minute walk, hike. She's talking about 4 meals a day with 150 to 160 grams of protein. Okay. My goal is to do a body recomp. I'm tracking macros. My main focus is protein intake. Sounds like she's doing pretty good.
Your weight though? Because I just want to know that actually.
Yeah. Okay. It does matter. It does matter in retrospect. Sorry. Okay. She's 5'6", 180 pounds. She's saying her body fat is about 32%.
Okay.
She's saying, I'm concerned about the times I'm getting my fuel. I wake up at 4:45 for work. She's a FedEx driver and can only prep a protein shake and a bar. When I get back, I have class and eat my, you know, what she prepped. But between those 8 hours of work, I'm scared of losing muscle. Do BCAAs really protect muscle? Do you recommend taking them? She says, I do prep my lunches and would bring them with me if I could eat them, but my work pays me by the day. So taking a lunch would mean the difference between getting paid $22 an hour or $25 an hour. So it seems like she's not eating during her working hours. So I think what the main gist is that I think she wants to build muscle, change her body composition. She's saying she's getting 150 to 160 grams of protein a day, but that she goes like a long period during the day without eating. So she's worried about that. And she's asking if BCAAs will help. Thoughts?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I'm going to try to keep this into like 4 minutes. Yeah. This could be a whole podcast, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to say two things. The first thing is when we're thinking about protein, I like to rank it in order of most beneficial, optimal to least, right? And so top of the pyramid is going to be animal-based whole food protein coming from animals, right? Eggs, beef, chicken, fish, those things, right? Had a face at some point or came out of something that had a face at some point, like chicken, right?
Shouldn't,
chicken
but, egg, okay. Whatever. Still has a face.
Anyway,
got it.
Anyway, still has a face. That's your top, right? And then if you can't eat animal protein, combining plant-based protein sources, rice and beans, you know, all the that stuff, right? Well, actually, even maybe above that would be like protein powder, whey protein, then collagen, whey protein, not creatine. Wow, I'm now messing this up. Whey protein, casein protein. Sorry, okay. That's the word I was looking for. And then, you know, your combined plant-based proteins, things like that, right? Protein powder. So whole foods, protein powder that has all the different amino acids. Then essential amino acids, EAAs, right? You can get powdered EAAs, which are the essential amino acids. Then BCAAs, right? So it's whole foods, then full-blown protein powders, all the different kinds of protein powders, then EAAs, then BCAAs at the bottom, then water. So that's how I would rank it. And I'd be like, okay, if you're trying to optimize, like start at the top and work your way down. So in this scenario, I would say, okay, if you can't eat food, then have a protein shake, even if it's just protein powder in water, right? Maybe you just put a scoop of protein powder in a shaker bottle. And then when you're ready to drink it, you throw a bottle of water in there, shake it up. And that's your, you know, that's what you do, right? That's what I would recommend, because then you're going to get all the essential amino acids through that, right? Through that protein powder and all the amino acids, like a wide variety of amino acids, not just the essential amino acids. So that's what I would say with that side of things, is I would rather you spend your money on like a good quality protein powder that has all the essential amino acids than spend your money on BCAAs. Second to that, if you're like, I don't like protein powder, I hate all the kinds of protein powder, I can't have them all, any of them, then I would go with essential amino acids over BCAAs, because BCAAs are just the branched chain amino acids, right? Leucine, isoleucine, and valine. Essential amino acids are going to be all the essential amino acids, but still not all of the amino acids, right? I told you this could be a whole podcast. So that's what I'll go with that. And then the second thing I was going to say is that the only time I would recommend BCAAs really would be, and even that, then I would probably just recommend EAAs. The only time would be if you're a vegan and you are not getting any animal-based proteins, and so you're limited in your ability to consume essential amino acids and BCAAs, so you have to supplement, right? And so you would supplement with either a vegan protein powder, or next thing would be EAAs. The thing below that would be BCAAs. So that's kind of the only time I would be like, okay, if you want to spend money on EAAs, BCAAs, it's because you are vegan and you need to supplement with that. Is that 4 minutes? I don't know,
but I liked it. I'll just add on to the end here that you cut in Kanye style if you think this is wrong, but one of the things she's worried about is like, I'm going all day without eating. And my feeling is, if you are getting 150 to 160 grams of protein in that 24-hour period in your day sometime, and presumably some fat and carbs and some other stuff as per your needs, you're not just eating 150 grams of protein and nothing else. If you're getting enough calories and you're getting that much protein in a day, it's not a big deal. We're meant to be metabolically flexible. We're meant to not have to eat every 2 or 3 hours. That's kind of a construct. If you're not starving, if you aren't having major energy slumps or headaches, if you're not super hangry, if you're not really struggling during that 8 hours, you know, you're staying hydrated, whatever, and you're getting the food elsewhere, don't worry about the 8 hours. You're absolutely not losing muscle in that 8 hour period. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely not. Like you said, you can prep your protein shake. So maybe if you are worried and you really, or if you're a little hungry or whatever, prep another one and have that sometime during the 8 hours, or maybe your EAAs or whatever, like have something. But you don't need to eat that 8 hours, especially if you don't feel like you're starving or hungry or whatever.
Kanye.
Okay.
For 1 second. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. And that's why we have both of us, because you went that route, which is 100% right. However, if your goal is to optimize, especially with her, she said she's training 5 full body days a week, I would just say that, again, it's ranking order. The biggest thing is that you get that amount of protein on the daily, right? 150 to 160 grams. If you weigh 180, that's great. Get that in during the day, every single day. That's number one priority. Once you've done that, the second priority would be to try to space it out. I would say if your goal is to optimize your muscle growth and recovery, because we know that you're to do that, you want to spike muscle protein synthesis multiple times throughout the day. If that's your goal, optimizing, right? Then I would say having like three servings of 30 plus grams of protein a day is going to be like ideal for most people, sometimes a little bit more. But again, that's the optimizing, right? So I just want to throw that in there because yes, you don't necessarily have to. You can still get a lot out of just eating two big boluses of protein per day if that's what works for you. But if you are trying to optimize the muscle growth and recovery, ideally, from what we know in the research, maybe one more serving of protein will just help to balance out the being in that positive nitrogen balance, right? Positive protein balance throughout the day versus being in the negative throughout the day. That's all I'm going to say. And that's Kanye's. Kanye out.
I mean, yeah, like basically, again, that could be that problem, that little extra problem could be solved by just having a second protein shake that you bring with you. Yeah. But if we're looking at ranking life, not just optimizing her workouts, she is saying basically, I can't afford to take a lunch break, which sucks. That's a whole other cultural conversation. Yeah. But if you can't stop and eat real food halfway through your shift, and maybe you don't bring a second protein shake or whatever, the main takeaway here is that you can absolutely be healthy and work out and build muscle. It's more important you're getting that protein in over the course of the day, and then even more so over the course of weeks and months consistently. So yes, it would be a perfect world if you could take a lunch and eat a proper meal. If you can't, just do what you're doing and make sure you're getting enough protein over time, you know, consistently. Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to say, because it's just the timing is interesting, is that I literally just recorded, it came out a couple weeks ago, I can put the link in the show notes, a solo episode about essential amino acids with the co-founder of Keon, because they basically, they've been talking to us offline a lot about, they have this essential amino acid product that they're like really excited about, and they're kind of pitching and they wanted us to try it and all this stuff. And I was really skeptical of it because I know that generally speaking, BCAAs are kind of like expensive juice generally. You just said, you know, there's potentially a little bit of benefit for it, especially for plant-based people. But for the average person who can eat animal protein, who is eating whole foods, who likes protein shakes, the benefit of BCAA products are like little to nothing, and they're expensive. They're, you know, they're pricey. Like, why would you buy this?
They taste like crap.
And they don't taste good, whatever. So like my, again, very high level general answer for most people, hey, should I like buy some BCAAs when I go to the GNC is like, no, that's the general answer. And I kind of felt the same about EAAs. I know that essential amino acids are, by, you know, their name implies, more important generally than BCAAs, but because they're essential, because we need them, because we need to take them in. But I'm thinking if you're prioritizing a nutrient-dense diet and you're getting a lot of animal protein, you're probably getting enough essential amino acids. And through the conversation with Angelo, he really kind of taught me a lot more about essential amino acids and kind of won me over a little bit in terms of, I hadn't really thought, and this is something I'm sure you already know, but you know, when you're taking in whole protein sources, like animal products, like a good whey protein powder or something, those contain essential amino acids, but they're not all essential amino acids. You're not, just because you're getting maybe, I don't know, 30 grams of protein doesn't mean you're getting a full serving of all the essential amino acids. So like even somebody like me who's eating a lot of good food, it's possible, especially as you get older, especially if you have an injury or you're working really hard, you're working out all the time, you may not actually be getting as much essential amino acids as you think you are. So to your point earlier, I'm not saying you have to supplement with essential amino acids. And probably most of us, it's not like a dire need if you're really focusing on getting enough whole foods protein stuff. But that episode really did kind of teach me a little bit more about what essential amino acids are, how they could be beneficial. Mm-hmm. And if you have the means and the desire to be taking some supplementary stuff to really optimize, you're much better off, like you said, having a good protein powder, but also going the EAA route before the BCAA route. So just maybe have a listen to that episode because he knows a lot more about this stuff, mm-hmm. obviously, than I do. So you could learn a little bit there, but anyway.
And we talk about this in the Muscle Science for Women program too. And I was mm-hmm. going to say that we talk about like BCAAs, what they are, EAAs. Like if you're like, what the heck are you even talking about? How does like, are BCAAs EAAs or EAAs BCAAs? We talk about that in the program too. I'm sure you talk about that as well mm-hmm. on the episode, which I need to listen to because
mm-hmm. you weren't there, unfortunately. Yeah,
I know. It's on my list actually. Mm-hmm. But so that's one thing. And then also I'm just kind of, you know, because we talk about this and we want to, you know, plug our program because it's the best. The person, you know, who asked this question too, they said they're training full body 5 times a week, et cetera, et cetera. It might also be beneficial to maybe switch that up and learn from us in the sense of like more is not always better. And so we talk a lot about that in Muscle Science Forum program and obviously give you programming and that. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Cool.
That's what I have to say.
All right. That was great. Do you have to go or do we have time to maybe throw another? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to find one that won't take a long time to answer, but you know, we aren't very good at that. Okay. This is a good one for you to nerd out on. So Nancy asked a 2-part question. Maybe we'll just get to the first part. She's talking about how she says, I've traveled a lot and I've recently discovered your podcast and I love it. That's so great. I love when people are on road trips or in planes and are listening to our podcast. Appreciate you. Her first question is about trying to count macros. Can you please tell me what is the allowable, like plus or minus? I feel like we have talked about this a lot, but the plus or minus sort of range for protein, fat, and carbs, in terms of how sort of loosey goosey can you be? Is there one that you can be a bit more loosey goosey since we love to use old fashioned terms in this podcast? And again, you know, the immediate answer is, of course, sign up for Muscle Science for Women. We'll teach you everything.
We go through all of it.
Yeah. But people do have this question about, because, you know, and I've said in the past too, like, again, it's a lot more about figuring out, you know, your TD, your, you know, what your baseline macros are. And then based on your goals, you up it or you lower it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's like the general gist is like, it's not an exact number. There's a range. You just need to kind of have an idea and like stick to it and pay attention to it and see how your body reacts and all that stuff. It's a fluid sort of thing. But of course, there's a lot more to it than that. What are your thoughts in terms of like general rules of thumb for how much of a range can there be? And can some of them be a bit of a wider range than others? Mm-hmm. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So again, like you said, we literally go through all of this in the program. We talk about exactly every different one and like minimums, maximums, things like that. So definitely check out Muscle Science for Women. Or obviously we do this in our own coaching as well. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in coaching with us, you can reach out to either one of us. But I would say that she said traveling. Is that was the beginning of the question when she's traveling, she's trying to figure out? Or is that a different part of the question?
No, I think she was just saying she's been traveling a lot and listening to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, got it. Sorry, I mixed that up. So first priority would be protein, right? So for me, I'm like, okay, hitting a minimum protein is what I would think about. Like as long as you're per day, right? Minimum protein goal, that's what you want to hit per day. And you don't necessarily want to go under that. And obviously maybe some days you do, right? But over time, right? Generally, if you look back at the week, most of your days, you want to be hitting your minimum goal for the minimum protein goal. For the threshold above that, there really isn't. The only thing that is an issue usually if you're having too much protein is for some people, it's hard to digest, especially if you're having a lot in one meal. Some people, and if you haven't done that in a while, so it could cause a little bit of digestive issues. But your body will also adjust to that over time. And then the second thing is that if you're eating way too much protein, that means that you're maybe not leaving enough room for the carbs and fats, right? So I always think about just like a minimum protein intake. I have that number. I try to stay at that number or a little bit above. And I would say maybe like in terms of up or down, like stay within 10 grams down, right? 10 grams below that. And then you can even honestly go 10, 20, 30 grams above that if you want. That's what I would recommend for protein. Fat, if you are getting into the fats and carbs, for most people, tracking protein and calories is going to get them 90% of the way there. For most people, they're going to get enough fats and carbs depending on what type of diet they're following if they just kind of let those fall where they may. If you're following a super low fat diet, then obviously you have to make sure that you're paying attention to getting enough fat, vice versa, right? Mm-hmm. But in general, you have a fat minimum that you want per day in grams to make sure that you're getting all of the essential, you know, fatty acids. You're not becoming deficient in that. You're supporting your hormones, supporting your satiety, all that stuff, right? All the things that brain, right? Fats are very important for that. And so typically I say, if you're getting super, super dialed in about your macros, within 3 to 5 grams up or down with fat, that's if you're getting very, very dialed in. Again, I would just have a minimum and balance that out depending on what's working for you or what's not, right? Mm-hmm. And then carbs kind of fill in the rest, right? This is going to be dependent on your preferences, your, you know, your training style, what your goals are, right? All of that, right? Mm-hmm. Lifestyle. And so in general, protein first, minimum fat target, fill the rest in with carbs. When we're talking about how much to be within, I typically tell my clients, if you're tracking all three macros, try to stay within 10 grams of carbs and protein and within 5 grams of fat up or down on a daily basis. You will never have to hit, if I give you a macro goal, right? XXX, I'm not saying that you have to hit that exact number every single day. That's not how it works. That's just way too like crazy. Mm-hmm. Not that I haven't been there at one point in my life. Anyway, hopefully that helps.
That's a really good like snapshot, you know, like obviously we could dive way more into it and we do in the program, but I think that's a really, really good snapshot. Just a couple like very basic things I'll add, because again, sometimes we forget that people haven't been enmeshed in this world in like for like 10 years plus like we have. Just the one thing to pay attention to with fat that people kind of sometimes forget, because once we get over the hump of misinformation about how all fat's bad and you should like never eat fat, sometimes people go a little crazy in the other direction. They're just like, fat's good, I'm just gonna sprinkle it liberally on everything I eat. And the thing people forget is that fat has 9 calories per gram instead of the 4 that protein and carbs do. And it's quite easy to overeat. And we all know that a serving of fat is very, very depressingly small. You know, like the serving of avocado, a serving of nut butter, a serving of butter or olive oil is just a little speck, right? So, you know, I've had clients who are like, you know, I'm low carb and stuff, but I drink a heavy cream latte every morning that is like literally 2 cups of cream. And I'm like, that's a billion calories, dude. Like, yeah, sorry,
literally thousands of calories.
Yes.
And that's not an over-exaggeration.
No.
It's thousands of calories.
Yes. So that's just, again, I'm the last person to tell you to fear fat. Moderate fat intake is so good, but you just want to be aware, because fat, the calories really add up quickly. And then the other thing I would say, and we've said this a million times, and it's just something, again, to pay attention to, is that if you are going the macro route, if you want to determine what your basic maintenance calories are, if you want to determine how your body best responds to upping calories to gain muscle, to lower calories, to lose body fat, all of those things, you have to know that it's a process and that it will take time and that it requires you to be mindful and pay attention. So what Rachel just said about it's not going to be exact every day and whatever you're logging probably isn't exact and all that stuff. None of this is an exact science, but it does require you to be really consistent and mindful and not cut corners and not log something because you ate too much and you're embarrassed about it, or to not skip a day because you didn't feel like it or whatever. These things take time. And even determining what your optimal you know, maintenance ranges, you kind of have to like pick something based on information and then try it and see how it feels, you know? So these are things that just take time. It's trial and error, but like you really have to, you have to dedicate yourself to it, because I've had, again, a lot of clients who like, they want to use this data, but they don't want to apply themselves. And you and I have had this conversation too, because I'm like, boo, I don't really want to track my stuff. And it's like, okay, well, whatever, you have to. You have to do it, and you have to do it properly, or the information isn't helpful. So that's one thing. It's like,
and I want to add.
I'm just gonna say, if you're gonna sign up for this, like, you don't have to. Nobody has to track their macros, but if you're signing up for this to help, you know, help you achieve a goal, you gotta like be ready for the work and the attention that it takes, because it's effort. And you know, it gets easier as you go on, and it can get to be a little bit. It can be automatic. You can get your tracker and you eat the same things and all that stuff. But at the beginning, it's gonna be a process, and it takes time, and you have to like be willing to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a learning process just like anything else. And also, you're never going to be perfect. It's all about the consistency when it comes to tracking over time and learning from that. And the one thing I was going to say too, because you talk about this with fats, if you are, and this goes with all the tracking, all the stuff, but if you're eating your meals, most of your meals out, or you're eating meals out and you're guesstimating tracking, totally fine. But realize that you're probably eating way more fat at restaurants or in the meals than you think. And even this goes like for Chipotle, for example. If you are paying attention to Chipotle's nutrition facts and you're like taking that for like 100%, those are right, you're wrong, right? Chipotle does not count the probably the piles of oil that they're cooking their meat in, or, you know, the extra oil that they're adding to the avocado, to the guacamole, or whatever it may be, right? Yeah. And at restaurants, again, we talk about this all the time. I just want to very clearly reiterate this, you are eating way more fat than you think. And before you even, like, I would say this to someone, if they're trying to like get healthier, lose a little bit of body fat, stop eating out all the time and start eating at home. And I don't even care if you track or not, you will literally lose weight by doing that, because you're consuming way more fat than you realize in the form of oil. Like the, for example, and again, this is why you have to be your own advocate. You order steamed veggies at a restaurant and you're like, oh great, they're steamed veggies, they're great. Ha, 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 ha. That restaurant's probably putting oil on those steamed veggies that you don't even know about, even when you order the steamed veggies.
That's so why make you sure that you never say, order vegetables at a restaurant.
No. So make sure you say, just again, this is where you have to be your own advocate. Say, please don't put any oil on that. Or if you're ordering a filet mignon and you're like, okay, yeah, love this filet mignon. Oh, wait, did you realize that they doused the filet mignon in oil before they grilled it? And then they put a slab of butter on top? Yeah. It's not just the filet mignon. Yeah. So anyway, that's, again, it's just being like aware of that. And if you're struggling with this and you're like, oh, wait, I eat out at restaurants every single day for lunch, don't do that. And cook your own food and then watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So much real talk and bummers that come along with.
But I love eating at restaurants.
Improving your body composition.
Well, you have to be smart about it.
And you also have to like prioritize. Like, is this the time in your life you want to go out and eat out at restaurants? Yes. Okay, cool. It's not the time in your life that you are going to be perfectly on top of your macros. Do you want to be perfectly on top of your macros? Okay. Don't eat out so much. Like, there's sacrifices. Every single decision requires a sacrifice. So that's life.
Yeah. And lastly, I'm going to say, you can be an annoying person like me who makes modifications, right, on the things that you order, or just asks more questions, right? There's nothing wrong with asking questions.
Yeah.
And there's certain times when I do that, right? Like if it's a date night dinner and I'm going out and I'm just trying to get the experience, I'm not going to make modifications. I'm not going to be like, hey, please don't put the oil on the filet and do this and that and that. I'm not going to do that. But if it's like a lunch and it's just an average lunch and whatever, I'll make some modifications. It's always, like you said, about picking and choosing when you're going to do that, but also not being afraid to like stand up for yourself and like be confident and ask questions. Yeah. I think a lot of people like get embarrassed to order food when they're with other people and like make modifications to the food order because they don't want to feel like they're a burden to the server or to the people that they're around. But like, who cares?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who cares?
And if you go to like a crazy restaurant that doesn't allow modifications, like that's on you, you know? It's like some restaurants
maybe going to anime when you come here in May.
Anime? Yeah, that's the crazy meat one, right?
It's the amazing one.
Is it
not the crazy
super expensive?
Meat one.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's like, just look it up. It's one of the top restaurants in San Diego, and it's like it's a Michelin, not like a, I forgot how many stars it is. But anyway, like a restaurant like that, you're not going to be like, oh, take this and that off. Like that's part of the experience. Mm-hmm. And to shout that out, we forgot to talk about that. Ashley's coming to San Diego to visit me.
We'll talk about that next episode.
Yeah,
and we will talk about all the hard workouts and delicious meats that we will consume.
And I will tame my Kanye because I've been on one today.
I personally love it. I love it because that means you're passionate about helping people not do stupid shit.
Yes. Okay? And don't be insane.
That's what we're all about. So until next time, stop eating vegetables at
restaurants.
Okay, I gotta
go walk the dog and stop eating
vegetables
all the time at restaurants.
Okay,
vegetables.
Bye.
What?
Bye.
Scratch all of the last 10 seconds.